T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Yeah, he's a one-man wrecking machine.
Which is why he's an MVP candidate.
Oh, there he is not.
Cam Newton for MVP. Anywhere from 11-5, 12-4, in my opinion, 13-3. He rushes probably for 500 yards. He could have an MVP-type season.
Dale Arnold.
I feel like this is a game where the Patriots get exposed.
What now?
And I don't think Derek Carr is some chump.
Rich Keefe.
And I take it just the results speak for themselves so far, completing over 71% of your throws.
Yeah, but that's cute, but we want to win.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
You bet on the Jets? What is wrong with you?
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
By the way, it is Free Money Friday at 1:30 today. We'll find out what hot sports betting takes Chris Scheim offers up for Fitzy to blow his money on. So that's coming up at 1:30.
I'm sorry you don't think that I'm going to be rich by Monday, Dale.
He did go 4-0 last week?
Yeah.
3-1.
Pretty good.
Oh, 3-1.
We didn't cover the Bills.
Fitz is going to humble you a little bit there. But
3-1's not bad.
Hey, 3-1's not bad.
Oh, I was 3-0 on the podcast.
7-1
Chime, overall. This is the radio show.
But the good
news
is,
I'm just mixing it up. I just get so many picks right sometimes that I mix it all up.
He is seeing the board really well for week 3, though, which I'm excited to hear what his picks are.
It is like I have just gotten LASIK surgery. I feel like if Jameis Winston got superpowers after getting LASIK,
I can't wait.
That's what I feel like.
This is exciting. So 1:30.
1:30. A couple of news and notes from the Patriots. None of them good. Jay Glazer, as Rich told you last hour, has reported that David Andrews has a broken thumb on his snapping hand. He is attempting at practice, and he is at practice again today, to snap with his other hand. But Glazer expects that Andrews will not be able to play this weekend and maybe beyond that, which is why it could be the start of Shaldy Froholt's season here.
Crazy thought, and I'm not a huge offensive line guy. Could David Andrews play guard? Would he be more helpful to you at guard and have Tooney maybe snap the rock?
Oh,
or that's not bad, Rich.
Like what's the difference? Like are you hurting two positions too significantly? Like I don't know, but I feel like he's really good, and I know it'll be a little bit different, a little awkward. Like he's only played center in the NFL,
right?
But if you can still block the like with a broken thumb,
could the guard also make the offensive line calls?
See, I don't know from that position if it's
weird.
If it's too odd for him or he can't see everything as well. I don't know the answer to that, but I wonder if they would even consider it.
Would they consider the idea of maybe somebody like of not deactivating David Andrews, not making him a scratch, rather keeping him active? You see guys like
fullback.
Obviously for whole starts. I was going
to
say, like,
yeah, sorry, beat you right to it.
On when you plays a little bit more, but if you need to go to a jumbo package, David Andrews is available.
David Andrews fullback.
Let's do this.
Let's go.
Why not?
Let's go. Yaka
you know
Johnson
what?
Ain't it, man.
I'm ready for this? All right. Scheim, what are the odds?
Oh, God.
David Andrews touchdown catches Sunday. Over under.
You can't create odds. We can't bet on
any of these. First of all, player props don't come out until like 24 hours before game time.
Okay. So all right.
Well, good to know.
Boom roasted.
Good to know. You know who's a huge fan of player props? David Blough.
Nope.
The Wednesday bring
back. I hate the call.
You are not playing that card again
today. I hate the David Blough.
You are not going to.
I knew how it would absolutely sour both of your milks.
But I wonder, like, would they? This team is very creative.
Yes.
If David Andrews can't play center, could he still play? Could he still mix in somehow.
I think he's too important to even put that hand at risk.
Like mess
just,
around with.
Just yeah. If he had surgery on it, obviously they're trying to expedite the healing process.
Well, if he's
maybe
out there
put
practicing,
a pin in.
They're thinking about something.
Well,
right?
You could definitely still have him practice without him engaging in full contact. There's a huge difference between the two. Making sure that he doesn't lose his synchronicity and is out there with his guys. Maybe he's actually just helping at practice, helping Froholt out because it's the most important part on the offensive line.
So I just did my job here, and I binged, how long you out with a broken thumb? And the answer might scare you.
Yes. How long?
Well, it's actually quite a range. It's 2 to 8 weeks.
Ooh.
So 2 weeks, you're like, all right, you get him back out there. He misses a couple of games, then he's playing again. But the 8 weeks is what's scary. And that's from the internet doctors.
And does that also, I mean, my guess is it would be a huge difference if you're playing wide receiver or if you're playing offensive line, things would change, right?
Well, it's your snapping hand. You got to be able to get a grip, whether it's shotgun snaps or anything. Like, that's tough.
But the fact that he was game, like, he's trying to snap left-handed.
Of course he is.
How much do you love this guy?
He's the man.
Yeah. We need him healthy for the Rams game because he is Aaron Donald's daddy, and he owned him to that Super Bowl.
Everything
we
that
need
he,
him back.
Everything that he went through last year, and then with the players opting out this year, you were wondering,
I'm going.
Andrew's
let's
like, I'm
go.
Playing. I'm not missing another season. Yeah. He's out there, and now he's trying to snap with the left hand. That's got to be tricky.
Two other tidbits from practice. One, not a surprise at all. James White, again, not at practice today. Didn't expect he would be. There is no way he's playing this weekend. Josh Uche is also still out. Practice today with a foot. So Peter King's Defensive Rookie of the Year candidate, it's probably not looking good for that.
Nope.
Not to go all John Gruden, but this guy.
This
guy over here.
Can't
this
make
guy.
The club from the tub, am I right?
Can't play. First week he was a healthy scratch, and now he's apparently got hurt not playing, and now he's going to probably miss his first three games as a rookie.
The guy is drafted specifically to address the lack of depth and speed at the linebacker position and has not been able to get out in the field the first 3 weeks. This, my friends, is a problem. This is now setting up Josh Uche to be the linebacker equivalent of N'Keal Harry.
Oh, boy.
That's not a tag you want to rock and roll with your rookie season.
Let's talk about N'Keal Harry for a moment because Julian Edelman was on the Greg Hill Show this morning. And he was also talking about N'Keal Harry. And I found it interesting, his take on what he's seen out of the young wide receiver so far.
With any young guy, it's just becoming a professional. And I've been super proud of N'Keal and how he's continually progressed in that facet of professional sports. I mean, it's light and day from last year of how he is. It's not too big. He's got a year under his belt. He's confident in certain abilities. That's when things start to go well, is when you start getting comfortable and then your athletic ability can take its place when the game slows down because you're mentally into it. So it's awesome that he's doing what he's been doing, and we're going to need him to keep on doing that.
They definitely need him. Mm-hmm. I mean, based on what the team is right now, and nobody would be shocked if they upgraded the position or tried to again. Yep. They've done it every year. But he has a quarterback who has confidence in him, and he's getting the opportunity. So he better have a good season.
And like, everything's in his favor. The wide receiver room seems to like him and seems to talk positively
about him. And then those guys,
about him.
Their game also should complement each other. Although last week was sort of a weird one where Edelman had all the deep passes and Harry was doing everything short. But still, like, those two different type of receivers should be able to help each other.
I think he's definitely going to feed him on Sunday. We were just saying during the break, Dale, like, this feels like the N'Keal Harry touchdown Sunday. Like, this could definitely be a day where you could see him feed him to a point. Because, honestly, like, the Raiders' corners are not great.
About it, too. He fumbles at the one in week one, and then he gets tackled at the one in week two. He's knocking on the door. You can't get any closer.
He's there.
Than
he's,
that.
Getting yeah, he's getting so a sniff. There. He wants a taste. He's getting a little taste, but he needs a full bite. This is maybe
take
a Sunday.
Take a full bite.
I mean, who in the Raiders secondary do you fear aside from John Abram? And that kid, that guy, I mean, he's obviously young. This is basically like the redshirt sophomore year for him, if you will. Mm-hmm. Guy can hit like a freight train. From that guy, I'm not really sure who exactly the Patriots should fear in a slightly overrated Raiders defense featuring a less than stellar secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Pat should be able to expose a lot there, Dale.
Giving credit where credit is due, it was Fitzy who was first on the Cam Newton for MVP train. He was the first. He actually did suggest. Now, we had to talk him off the ledge a little bit, Rich, because he initially suggested that Cam Newton through the second week of the season could be, one of the favorites for the MVP. And then he backed away to Russell Wilson. To his credit, he backed away, but still right there We've pointed out at least one player in the AFC East who we think's played better than he has so far, but that does not deter Fitzy. It also does not deter Jermaine Wiggins this morning on the Greg Hill Show.
I think Fitzy said this maybe a couple days ago, and I'm starting to jump and believe and jump on this train. Cam Newton for MVP. I could see him throwing anywhere from 26 to 28 touchdowns. He'll rush for another 10-plus. He'll have over 3,100 yards. Uh-huh. This team will be a team that is, you know, anywhere from 11-5, 12-4. In my opinion, 13-3. He rushes probably for 500 yards. He could have an MVP-type season.
They go 13-3. I mean, my Lord, what is that?
Even Fitzy's not going there for crying.
They're going to lose 2 games before the bye week.
They jello for South.
I mean, I suppose that's true, but he did. He just took. This is what Wiggy does. He'll take your take, mm-hmm. and then he'll go more outlandish, and then now it's become Wiggy's take.
I was just going to say that's what happens. He is a take co-opter.
Yep.
He co-opts your take.
I would call it take thief.
Take taker.
He's a take taker.
He's a take taker.
He's taking takes.
Now, what are you going to do that John actually contributed positively?
I'm going to pretend that it was Shyam. I'm going to pretend that we got that little bit of
take taker.
Good one, Shyam.
Good job, Shyam.
That was great, buddy. Wow. Where'd you come up with that? On the David Andrews thing, I did want to say I bet gambling man that I'm not, except when Shyam tells me
Friday,
that David Andrews will not play the next 3 games, takes the bye, returns after that. I think that would be the smart management. That's just a gut feeling. Wouldn't that be smart management of an injury like that if you're in the two to eight week range?
By the way, that also goes to we're talking about Cam Newton and Josh Allen both playing really, really well out of the chute. The Bills are 2-0. Patriots obviously 1-1, even though it feels like they're 2-0 after last Sunday. But just kind of looking at the schedule ahead here, I think the Patriots will probably be 3-2 when they hit their bye week. Meanwhile, the Bills have a tough schedule ahead of them. I think they lose their next 4 games. I think the shine is going to come off of the Bills. They're going to be 2-4. Not that Josh Allen's going to be the sole reason why, but they're going to come back down to earth because the level of competition is going to be a lot better than the Jets and Dolphins.
Correct.
They've so far.
Well, last year, the Patriots feasted on that. Yeah, Dale.
In Wiggy world, the Patriots can only lose 2 more games, right?
Yeah, he'd probably say Kansas City and Baltimore and then win the rest.
So they can't lose, in Wiggy world, they can't lose to Arizona. They can't lose one of the Buffalo games. Sorry, Wiggy. I don't see that they've only got 2 losses left in them the rest of the season.
We should update the board in here.
We'll have another big board?
I think we should get everybody on the record how many wins this season for the Pats.
Go on.
Because a lot of people are like, oh, they could 8, 9, 10, or like 11, 12.
Need a bigger board, like a flow chart for Glenn.
Well, I was going to say, John.
Good point. His name's going to be under each.
There's going to be so many ifs.
I see a Glenn, an Ordway, a Big O.
Yeah. But what we do is we just put every number between 6 and apparently 13 for win total.
Okay.
You put a number, and then you put your name under however many wins you think they're going to have.
John, you're not doing anything right now. Why don't you come in, wipe this board down?
Yeah, we're going to need to clean that
set
off.
Set up a new big board. That's a great idea. You know what that is? That's nice content. Maybe we could put it on the socials as well.
I did like that synergy, John.
We'll have to put one of the cameras on me doing the board.
Yes, well, we would love to do that.
I did notice that my butt looks great on the stream.
John, shut your mouth.
Shyam, hit the dump button.
Shut your mouth right now.
I can tell you, I spend my entire show looking over your shoulder. Your butt's not that great. I'm just saying.
Wow, Dale. Let's leave it alone.
Dale, I never had you as a butt shamer.
It depends on what you're looking for in a butt, I suppose. Well, everybody likes different butts.
He just was putting his butt over big time.
Nice. And you guys are going to give me a hard time for a David Blau callback after we just did a minute on
yes,
John's
we
butt?
Are. No, we're going to give you a hard time.
If you like a guy who's 6'1 and 97 pounds, our producer, John Anderson,
I am 6'4, my friend.
Doesn't look
you're
like,
6'4?
Doesn't yeah. look, Shine and looks you're, like and he works pounds. Out more than you.
So I have a dump truck, so that's why I stay away from
But you know what, though? Of all the people I know or are getting to know, I don't think anyone is more body confident than you, Shyam.
Nobody. There's not a single person.
As he should be.
We all have unique personalities.
He does. And he's got the flowing locks. He's got the beautiful goatee.
He's like a Greek god build. Who just took
I want
a week
you to know, one of
off.
These days, I'm going to have a ponytail when I come in.
I can't wait.
Oh, absolutely.
How will we know? You always have the hat on back.
That's how long it's going to be.
Yeah, exactly.
You strike me as somebody I would catch at like a Vermont farmer's market who's just like recently just ate like half a whole pepperoni.
Wait until the flannel comes out, too.
Oh, flannel. When it's bear season. Like, you know,
man bun going.
I would look at Shyam like he makes his own honey, might have 3 wives, doesn't care.
I'll look like I grew up in L.A. and then moved to Vermont.
Yeah. They're a lumberjack. I like that. I can't wait.
Grew up in L.A.? I don't think that part chimed. The move to Vermont thing, I got you.
No, just wait for the man bun, Dale. You'll know. Man then you'll get the L.A. vibes.
Just get one of those Willie Nelson fake ponytails.
I can't. Why get a fake one when he's going to grow a real one?
He's almost there.
My hair is literally almost there.
Yeah.
I have to officiate a wedding in a month, too.
Do you really? Did you get ordained?
I did.
How about that?
Got a certificate from the governor.
You know, I officiated one wedding in my life. Mm-hmm. Did not last.
Wait, so you didn't even make it to the wedding?
Not a great success.
No,
rate.
I married them. Mm-hmm. They didn't stay married.
That's this isn't your fault, though, is it?
I don't think so.
No.
I can't imagine that it was my fault.
I officiated one in Los Angeles
they
in
still
2009.
Together?
They are. They have a great relationship.
How about that?
There you go.
So as a show, we have a pretty good batting average.
And I recently received a congratulations on being an ordained minister for 11 years from like the Universal. It's like $8.95.
Yeah.
Universal Life Church. They congratulated me.
The best
me
money
on
you can spend.
$9 you can marry people. $9.
But
that's
do you
it
want that? See, I don't want that pressure.
It's not up to you, Dale. You did your part.
No,
they were happy
no
that night, trust me.
See, I will feel
I
responsible when it
what?
What? Hello? You were what?
I said I was there for that too.
Well, oh God.
No,
go ahead.
You are listening to Dale and Keefe on WTMI.
I'm sort of understanding why things didn't work out for those two kids.
Yeah, that might have.
If you were there for the wedding night,
that might have played a factor.
Rich, would you come watch after you make us man wife?
That's my friend.
I figure that's the kind of guy that would probably.
Yeah, you're right.
And
you're
John's right head just hit the console.
Yeah. All right.
I mean, just that almost ruined it for him at that point. I have no desire to marry people.
Come on, Dale. Little. It's a good time. These
graduate
days
of the closed cover before striking school of ministry and heavy machinery, one of those things.
They don't. They usually don't have a heavy agenda. So whatever, like internet quotes about romance or movie quotes or random poetry.
Write
you
your own
read
stuff.
Yeah, you can you write
your
own
stuff.
Oh, I'm writing everything. Just
I
my
use the
own.
I use
I'm
the
stealing nobody.
I said by the power invested in me by the Jedi Council. I now pronounce you man and wife. Oh, and it killed. It absolutely
oh, nice
killed. Went over
yep
great.
I, with the power invested in me and in Castle Grayskull.
I'm probably going to use the Allfather Odin.
Sure. I got a huge pop
the
there.
Yeah. Maybe?
Oh. It's an easy audience. Everybody's in a pretty good mood. You know, they're happy
I would
there
probably
the
read
time
the whole thing in as
hopped
Guardian
up on IPAs at that point.
He's a oh, big yeah, Avengers up fan, so it might work out.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dale, if you're not if you're marrying people that don't have a can of an 8% double dry hop in their hands, then are you even
out
getting married,
mind
bro?
Out of your mind.
Were you even there? I mean, I have two daughters' weddings to look forward to.
Marry them.
No, hell no. God, no.
All right.
Because then if it doesn't work out, they are always going to blame me forever.
Nah,
Dale,
that's just passing the buck.
You, they're already probably blaming it for everything. So. Yeah. I mean, that's just how kids work.
Well, yeah, one actually probably does. The other one's probably okay with it.
As two guys who have married somebody before, I have a question.
Sure.
Would it be inappropriate to ice someone when he comes up to the podium?
So you're bringing that back, apparently.
Is that still a thing?
Nobody's been iced in about 9 years.
Really?
But the answer is go for it.
Okay,
I think
cool
you set the mood. You're going to be like a fun, cool priest. And
yeah, I
want to
make it like a magic trick, like hide it behind my papers, and then
yeah
poof, all of a sudden.
And
ice
then now he has
shouldn't
to, or she
like
has to. You're going to ice her as well? You want to make her feel included?
Ice both of them.
Ice them both.
You know what you
that
need?
That must be an old dude thing, because we ice people all the time. Us
still
young folks do.
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
We all
yeah
do. That's why I was like,
oh,
I
really
don't know what you're talking about.
We gave that up in like 11.
Yeah, I never actually did that, nor would I, and that's okay.
Like, I fully expect to get iced like this weekend.
You're probably going to get iced in the next commercial
if
break.
If somebody doesn't ice you walking out of this building, then everybody sucks.
Someone once sent me a package with an ice in it.
Oh,
that's good.
That's well done.
You know what you should have?
Did you film yourself slamming it? And
sure
then,
did.
Yeah, okay.
So, Shime, I want to know, like, when you get iced, you don't actually have to give an ice. It can be in anything, right? It's just the idea is that it's
no
ice.
It has to be an ice.
Pretty
it has
sure
to be an
it's
ice.
Ice. Otherwise, what's the point?
Well, then, so what'd you get? Hard seltzed? You know, you got iced, right?
No, you got iced.
You got iced.
Iced.
You know what you should have? Like, one up each sleeve, just like taxi driver style. Just like, whip
oh,
them right
real
out.
Real nice.
Or like
be
the,
like Wyatt Earp.
Like in a John Woo
drop
film.
Those
exactly
babies out of the, out of
always
the sleeves.
Ready.
So.
Yeah, there you go. Do
all
that.
Right, I'm going to be prepared. They
good
appreciate you guys.
Good. Let me know how it goes.
Is it a family member you're marrying?
No, they're two of my best friends.
Well, they were.
It's his dad and his third wife.
I don't think that's any of your damn business.
New
so,
mommy.
Yeah.
Not quite.
That wouldn't be too creepy, would it?
Nah. Are you kidding me? Icing your dad?
So you guys
huge
have done
wedding with 300 people. It's like, how many times are you going
to
do this?
You guys have done weddings. Are you also legally able to do funerals? I mean, do you get to do that too if you want?
This was fun.
That got maybe morbid not real fast.
Yeah. Well, I was just curious what the scope of your religious capabilities were.
I'd choose not to.
Baptisms? No. Can you do that? Can you, you know, take somebody down to the river?
I do brises all the time.
You beat me to it.
Damn it.
You son of a
bitch. I had to. Had to.
I have a Swiss Army knife in my pocket. I do brises on the weekends.
You have a sword.
Oh, good point.
Oh, yeah.
Good point. I have a samurai sword. Yeah. I'm very accurate with it.
Well, not that accurate. Not going near anything matters to me with that thing. Let's get a call in before we get to trending. Charlie's in Arlington. Hey, Charlie, how you doing?
Good, guys. Hey, so I've been complaining about Brad Stevens for probably 2 years now, and most of the time when I have called these shows, I've kind of got poo-pooed because of all these, you know, Brad Stevens acolytes have said that how great he is. But my biggest complaint with him is his lack of offensive creativity and strategy, which I think now is really coming to roost on him in these, you know, in these type of playoff situations. I just, like, if someone were to ask you, and I would ask you guys this question, if someone said to you, describe Brad Stevens' offense, how would you describe it?
Chuck threes.
Fog up threes.
Score more than them?
Yeah, I think it is.
No, but in terms of his style, I mean, this guy's no Mike D'Antoni. Not that D'Antoni is a great coach, but you need to have a little bit more offensive strategy rather than just, you know, spread five guys across the three-point line. And by the way, Tatum should be playing low post from time to time to sort of change things up. He spends far too much time beyond the arc.
Yeah, it's funny when you see all those guys have success shooting twos, and then you're like, well, why don't you try that a little bit more? And not to be like the old school basketball fan, like, oh, they take too many threes. Like, that's the way the league's going.
Everybody does.
But they, and they're all good free throw shooters. Like, we've had a bunch of callers mention that. Like, even Marcus Smart. Marcus Smart would be better posting up a small guard and either getting them into foul trouble, getting to the line, or scoring than he is just gassing up threes nonstop. And also, I think, Charlie, to your point, where he's really been exposed is all the different zones that Toronto and Miami have thrown at the Celtics, and they just panic and they have nothing. And that's
absolutely. Yeah.
For a college coach, it's crazy because that's all. I'm sure that's all he faced when he's in the Horizon League.
Yeah.
So I don't get it.
And I got a take on Jason Tatum from the other game, by the way.
Yeah.
So I think he pouted the whole first half, if you ask me. I think whatever Brad told that team to do, whether it was spread the ball, not always take the first shot, I think Tatum said, oh, okay, so you want me to do that? Okay, so let's see how we do the first half. And I think he has a propensity to pout when he's not the number one. And I think that's a big part of their problem. So thanks for the call.
All right, thank you. And it's funny that he says that because if I remember correctly, didn't Kobe Bryant do that in a game where, like, all he did was just defer? Like, he was, like, trying to prove a point, and he just passed it and passed it. I think LeBron even has a game. I could probably pull up the exact games that it was, but it was, I think they were getting crap for not getting more of his teammates involved, and, like, Kobe was like, okay, this is what it looks like when all my, and I'm not saying Tatum did that exactly, but he, like, purposely didn't shoot, and all the guys around him, it was a mess, and it was, like, I think just to prove a point.
I don't know so far as to do, but would Jason Tatum do that knowing how badly they needed that win?
I don't think so. Now's not the time for it.
No,
now's not the time
for it. You do that in a February regular season game or something, but not, you know, when you're facing, staring down the barrel of a 3-1 deficit. I will say this. He's like David Ortiz. When David Ortiz was playing, there was never a called third strike that was actually a strike as far as David Ortiz was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Tatum disagrees with every call that's ever been made against him, ever. Mm-hmm. And it gets a little old after a while.
Yeah.
And I know he's kind of whined about not getting the superstar status. Part of that is, you know, just stop whining about everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's kind of like, I've seen a lot of like, okay, if you could maybe stop complaining about every call and... how does he think he's going to be getting them? Is that his own idea of his superstar status in his head versus the ref saying, like, you know, guy, actually, you're a really good player, but this is only year three. You haven't earned that call yet. Or does he have to sell him better? I don't know.
So this was the game, I believe it was. It was the 06 NBA playoffs, and it was a game 7, actually.
Whoa.
Where Kobe Bryant, the game before, took like 35 shots, and then Phil Jackson made some comments and everything else, and Kobe took only 16 shots, which, again, 16 shots is a decent amount. But
yeah, for Kobe?
But less than half of the game before. He scored 50 points in the game before, and let's see. I think Phil might have called him selfish, or somebody called him selfish, and then Bryant went the next game and just was deferring to everybody in a game 7.
Wow.
When we come back, it's our Kiefer Madness Week in Review. The playmaker, Michael Irvin, joins us at the top of the hour. We'll get back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, and it's time to trend.
Dale and Keefe.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI. The beginning of madness. Kiefer Madness.
Kiefer Madness.
This is madness.
Richard Keefe, I think it is. Rich Keefe.
Who is that?
Keefe, kiss my ass. How's that sound?
Oh, Keefe's a nice guy.
What now?
I got really into home brewing. I got a home brewing kit. Pretty time consuming.
Who's door, Keith?
Where's Keith?
Where is he?
Where's Keith?
Where is Keith?
Hey, Keith, you're a douche.
This is madness.
I'm going to suggest it might include poop.
Yo, Keith of Madness is so hit or miss.
You're only giving a little spark of madness.
Thanks. Keith, you maybe. Jackass.
Did Keith for Madness?
And it's the Celtics.
How are you doing, ladies and gentlemen? My name is Joshua Adams. I'm CEO and founder of Cosplayer Nation.
And the latest challenge involves condoms.
Actually levitated her out of the bed in the master chamber, out into the parking lot, and tried to draw her up into a craft.
Here we go. It's a Friday, noon
that
30.
Voice, that last voice sounds like Dan Shaughnessy.
Oh, maybe it was. Maybe it was Paranormal Shaughnessy.
I can't say that it's not.
Could have been. I wouldn't doubt that it wasn't. It is time for our week in review, and one of our very popular segments now, every Monday, we do What Happened in the NFL this week, and we had a German call of the Tom Brady interception, which then led to Fitzy getting some scoops in that general area.
We just learned moments ago, or at least I learned yesterday and shared, that the German word for game day is Spieltag.
Spieltag.
Yeah. This just in. Do you know what the German word for team is?
Team.
Mannschaft.
No, it is not.
Mannschaft.
M-A-N-N-S-C-H-A-F-T. Mannschaft.
I'm fairly certain we have to cut that. Yeah. I mean, I don't think we let that
run. It is. It's Mannschaft.
I don't feel great about that.
It's Mannschaft.
Mannschaft.
Favorite band of Jalte Froholt.
Mannschaft.
Might be.
Mannschaft. Saw them in concert twice.
Mannschaft Steamroller.
Rammstein.
They opened for Rammstein, actually. It was Du Hast.
Das Mannschaft.
Das Mannschaft. Not bad.
For my breakfast.
Yes, that's a nice callback right there. Fitz, you like this. We talked about this story during Madness on Tuesday.
Yes.
So that was an Andy Hart day. And this was a woman who got pulled over and had one of the all-time great excuses.
Where do you think I was going?
Oop. Wait a minute. I think that's a... Did we chop that off a little early? I think we might have chopped that off a little bit early. Long story short, the lady said, I have to take a poop.
I have
to take a poop, to which the police officer responded.
Where do you think I was going?
Birthday, man.
Huh?
This is my birthday.
A bizarre excuse and her 28th birthday, not the only problem she's dealing with. Police say she wasn't supposed to be behind the wheel in the first place. A warrant out for her arrest in Winoka.
You have warrants through Woods County and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
Man.
She took off.
That's
it? She decided to take off.
The first time when you played that on Tuesday, I missed the bleep you guys.
Now bleep you! And then she got in and took off. Yeah.
As she's, you know, peeling out.
Oh, yeah. She took off, but they tracked her down.
Sparking a pursuit, topping 70 miles per hour, blowing through stop signs and a school zone.
You have warrants through Woods County and they're coming to get you.
No, they're not.
Ma'am.
See you later.
F you guys.
And that was it. And
can there be anything worse?
Again.
Can there really be anything worse, though, than almost turning 28 and having to, like, pull over to saw one off? Like, that's just got to be...
No! I think that's the worst.
I have to poop so bad. Well,
Andy Hart does it about twice a week based on what he's told us. And he's got that IBS syndrome.
He does have an issue. He leaves toilet paper in the car. And then the cherry on top of that story.
And inside of it, meth.
Yeah, meth. She also
one causes the other, doesn't it?
Well, we also had a concern because what we're doing this year is Shime continuing to make his picks, but Fitzy is putting his money where Shime's mouth is. But what also is a problem is Fitzy doesn't just stick to those picks. He somehow also makes other picks. I've never ordered all of the pies. I've never once said, hey, give me one of all of them. Shime, put your hand down.
So what I did
I've never done that. What were they?
Tampa Bay laying 8. Pittsburgh laying 6.5, and the Jets getting 7.5.
The Jets? Oh. You bet on the Jets? What is wrong with you?
He said, and I quote, Shime, I have a feeling.
That would be Fitzy betting a random parlay in the middle of the
week. I went a little rogue. Nowhere.
He went rogue on that.
Should have seen the payout on
it. And then this is what I heard today, Dale, is, you know, again, four picks. Shime's going to give us at 130. Fitzy's going to bet on them. Then Monday we recap it. Pretty simple.
Yeah, seems simple.
Fitzy lost money on the Jaguars last night.
Of course he did.
He bet on the Jags. He needed a little action. He needed a little juice in the Thursday game.
This is like, you know, the drug dealer at the schoolyard giving away samples, trying to hook the kids.
You're not going to walk up to that van and say you got any more?
Now, Shime has a 60% hit on winners, but we might have to recheck that because he said Jaguars in the over. It was Dolphins in the under.
I said just the over yesterday. You picked the Jaguars.
I know. I said the Jaguars.
So now I've got two of you to blame for last night.
That was on me. Once again, not John Anderson's best week here on the program.
I break my own record every week. I'm like Drew Brees with passing yards.
He gets worse.
Yep.
And somebody had to
put
him in
his
place.
Don't stop the show. There is a fantastic movie about the dangers of man and machine mixing that I watched this weekend called
Blade Runner.
I hate him so much.
You know what I would love to do?
Have him go in and punch him right in the face.
I
want to get the Darksaber, and I just want to watch it cut straight through his legs.
I feel like having a microphone near him is a huge mistake.
Since we played Seattle Rejoins Friday, nice grunge outfit 5 days too late.
He's a below-average producer, horrible on-air personality, one of the worst. And yet here we are.
The relationship the two of you have...
Is what?
Is the
toxic,
equivalent to...
poor?
It is honestly... It's adorable. It is the socio-emotional equivalent of Belichick's outfit today.
I view it like a big brother, little brother situation.
It's not like that at all. It actually got worse yesterday. But also, another popular segment this fall...
Could it get worse, could it?
Maybe it did a little bit.
Okay.
But people seem to really like the Boom Roasted segment. And this week... Everybody was making fun of Drew Brees' throwing arm, which is, I would say, subpar at this point.
All right, from @NFL_memes, Sean Payton says, Drew, we're going to need you to throw a pass longer than 5 yards, to which Drew Brees responds,
no. No, I don't think I will.
Old Captain America from Endgame.
Amazing.
Still perfect.
Amazing.
It might have been Tweet of the Week.
I think that was Tweet of the Week. I think they definitely did it. How about our guy Chris Scheim on Tuesday trying to make it a topical Karaoke Tuesday, as he normally does.
Oh, no.
And he somehow unearthed the fact that Santana is a Raiders fan. And since the Patriots are playing the Raiders, he thought he would give us this.
And if you say this life ain't good enough, I would give my world to lift you up. I could change my life to better suit your mood.
And you give a great message to our Spanish-speaking listeners.
So smooth.
Let's go.
And it's just like the ocean under the moon. It's the strain, it's the emotion that I get from you.
You've had a lot of good ones, Shyam.
I'm
one of your biggest supporters, but holy smokes.
Don't worry, I'm going to come back with a blazing fire next week.
You got a hot one next week already?
I'm cooking one up.
You're cooking one up?
That's one Karaoke Patrol would just drive over to the side of the road, get out, and just put it down right there.
Is there any song that you consider outside your register, Shyam?
Yeah, there's a few.
That wasn't it?
No, I think September, when I sang that for Daron Harmon, definitely out of my register.
Harmon gave you a D-.
Yeah, he did give me a D-.
Yeah.
But I can guarantee I have one in the slow cooker already.
All right.
We're going to be ready for Tuesday.
D-.
All right, we'll try to do better next week. Dale, there's your weekend review.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. The Playmaker, Michael Irvin, is minutes away. Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Manshaft.
Jets? You bet on the Jets?
It's the strain, it's the emotion that I get from you.
No. No, I don't think I will.
Fitzy joins Dale and Keefe every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on WEEI.
Nah, Seawood definitely stripped him. That's for sure. But I remember I was a little kid in Bakersfield, California, watching it. you know, pretending to be Charles Woodson out in my front yard and then coming back in and watching the game and going back outside and doing those things. So I remember telling Charles that too, and it made him feel old a little bit. But for me, growing up, like, that's a big moment in just football history, let alone Raider history and Patriot history, you know. Definitely had a lot of conversations about it. You know, as a Raider fan, of course it's a fumble. You go to New England, of course it wasn't a fumble, you know, all those things. So it'd be nice to hear what Tom has to say about it sometime.
Forevermore, when the Patriots play the Raiders, you have to revisit the Snowball. Derek Carr, as you heard, revisited it. I was one of the 500,000 people who were in attendance that night at old Foxborough Stadium to watch the Snowball game. And he is exactly right in this regard. You can't ask anybody in Oakland about that play without getting, well, of course it's a fumble. And you can't ask anybody in New England about that play without getting, well, they got the call right.
Listen, check the rule book. Check the rule book, all right?
It was called earlier in the season, remember?
Incomplete pass. Mm-hmm. Now, it looks like a fumble. It kind of smells like a fumble,
oh,
but it's
totally
not a fumble.
I thought it was totally a fumble
thought
at the time.
Thought the game was over.
Oh, thought the game was completely
thought
done.
The game was
almost
over.
Ruined my 28th birthday.
So did Tom Brady, by the way. He thought it was a fumble, and he thought the game was done as well. It was funny because, and those of us who were there, and Fitzy, I don't know if you were there that night or not, but it was actually kind of a cool night. It wasn't miserable. It was kind of the snow globe kind of snow. It wasn't freezing cold. It wasn't like the Tennessee playoff game, you know, where you're dying out there. But I was at the other end of the stadium. All the stuff that really mattered was taking place down at that other end. I couldn't see any of it.
Through that driving snow? Through the side? At that point, like, wasn't it super, like, by the time Vinatieri kicked the 45-pound stone somehow through the uprights?
Insane.
Which will never,
still
ever
insane.
Make sense.
No.
Wasn't it, like, it was windy. It was blowing in all directions. I know it wasn't as bad as either the Tennessee game, which was zero.
That was the coldest I've ever been.
That was zero at kickoff. And then also the game where Edelman threw the pass to Amendola. I had friends who said they got beers, and by the time they got up to the 300s, they were frozen.
Wow.
It was that cold that Saturday, too. But that was an incredibly memorable night. How much do you think that still sticks in Gruden's craw?
Oh, 100%.
A lot.
Charles Woodson or Gruden, the two of them, if you get them going on it, and rightfully so. I mean, imagine being on the other side of that. You would lose your mind.
Oh, yeah. You'd never forget it. You'd never get over it.
And then they went to the Super Bowl the next year, but they didn't win it. So it's not like they can even say, well, like, you know, the Patriots have had some bad Super Bowl losses, but then when you add up all the Super Bowl wins and things like that, but if you're a Raider fan or if you happen to be a player or a coach then, like, just the worst.
That's a terrible 1-2 punch. You lose in a game like that where you think you literally have victory snatched away from you on a call that makes no sense and has since been amended. And then the next year you finally do make it to the Super Bowl and you lose to your former coach.
Any chance they keep Drew Bledsoe if they just lose the snow game?
Chance, sure.
No.
I mean, there's a chance.
I mean, he's not a Super Bowl champion. In fact, he's 0-1 in the playoffs.
He's not the legend that he became at that point.
No, I don't think they would. I think
Wiggy
they
became
moved
a
on.
Legend that on. Night too, by the way.
Yes, he
did. Yeah, think about it. 10 catches in the snow game in a loss would have been forgotten. But
10 catches
in the snow game in a win, which kind of leads, sort of starts the dynasty, that's remembered.
Adam Vinatieri, who will go in the Hall of Fame, you know, because he makes those two kicks, but the first one especially, probably sets that whole thing in motion for the Hall of Fame career.
Oh, 100%. Now, obviously, getting the kick, the game winner in the Super Bowl, too, is just the...
Which he wouldn't have had a chance to do.
Right, he wouldn't have had a chance to do it. But and the kick probably wasn't as like physically difficult, like with the elements and everything. Now there's more on the line and there's more eyes on you and all that other stuff. But just that run alone, like you take that year. You know how we talked about, especially with the passing of Gale Sayers, how guys do make the Hall of Fame, even with like a short sample size, if they're that good.
Yep.
For a kicker, it doesn't get any better than the postseason in 01 for Adam Vinatieri.
No
kicker
is
ever
not.
Even close to that.
No.
And the first one of the two snowball kicks, I've always said it, Belichick has said it as well, the greatest kick I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There will never be a kick any better than that.
I think we all expected him to miss, and you wouldn't even have been mad. You're like,
no.
That was just insane. Like, you would have been frustrated that the team lost, but you would have been like, you're not going to make that. There's no reason.
No, there's no reason.
That.
There's no science behind. I'm sure if you got one of those, like, hey, I'm
Todd
John Brinkus. Todd Brinkus.
Hey, it's me, and we got all this stuff. Okay,
like,
great,
no,
Todd.
There's zero chance Save John Brinkus can explain the science behind that. Although I will say the kick, granted, it was in, you know, a dome in climate control. The kick to win Super Bowl 36 wasn't too bad.
No, that was...
No, it's great.
And I think just there's so much pressure on them, too. But just when you have the snow and like the footing and everything else, like, come on.
Well, and the other difference here is, you know, if he missed it, God forbid, in New Orleans, they keep going.
Yeah, they would have lost pretty quickly there in overtime.
They would have lost, Dale.
Yeah,
would
have real quick in overtime.
43 seconds for the greatest show on turf to zip their way down the field if they got the ball.
Or for Ty Law to pick it off and pick six it back for the win in that way. Yep. Yeah. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. One of my favorite parts of the week. It is one of my favorite interviews of the week. It's one of the most fun times we have for the show for the entire week. Michael Irvin, the playmaker, NFL Hall of Famer, NFL Network analyst, will join us. He's coming up next on Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.